Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory. On this podcast, we talk about ways to grow, innovate, and automate your business using strategy, technology, and tactics that we learn from interviews with experts and business leaders alike. Without further ado, here's the next episode of Automate and Grow.
Nardwar? I don't know. Do you want to be Nardwar?
The entrepreneurial Nardwar? Probably not.
Maybe.
He does crazy research, though.
Yeah, and he interviews a lot of really big people. He gets, like, great interviews. Try to not...
What's nice about this is there's absolutely no format or precedent for quality.
Because he's the first one.
It's the first one.
Okay, well, we can set the bar high.
Okay, the bar is high because already the lighting is better than I would have accepted. I would have been in a dungy little yellow room. But Kim.
We're trying. I mean, we can warm it up.
No, it's good now.
You can tone it down later.
This is like a professional office.
Color correct later.
Live from
Workhouse.
Formerly Deloitte.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a
edit.
Yeah. Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so Workhouse, one of the now three locations. It's a co-working space. So it's a co-working space in Toronto. You can work here by yourself or with a company and rent a desk or just like sit in the lounge area, and yeah, there's offices.
An entrepreneurial hotspot in the middle of Toronto.
Yeah, totally. It's right down a bay in Wellington, and lots of entrepreneurs, teens, startups, established businesses, all kinds of stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And what made you choose Workhouse?
I actually know the owner, so I've known them for quite a while. They first started with a location that was more east, so by St. Lawrence Market.
Oh yeah, I love it down there.
Yeah,
I used
too.
To live down there. That's fun.
Yeah, exactly, right there.
Olden
so,
days.
It's a great area.
The 90s.
So started out there, and I knew the owners, and I mean, I still know them. And so I started working out of that location, and they expanded and got new locations and more locations. And yeah,
damn.
It's been a couple years now. So.
All right, so in true Nardwar style, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Kim.
I've always wanted to say that.
My name is Kim Parnell, and I am one of the co-founders of Blank.
Blank? What's Blank?
Blank is a platform. It allows the technology that automates app development. So it does all the designing and developing of an app.
You used the A word.
Automate. I did, yeah.
This is Automate and Grow.
Yes.
First episode.
Mm-hmm.
Take one.
Yeah.
So Blank is automating the process of building an app.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been involved in the development of apps prior to this?
Yeah, that's actually how it got started. So I had an idea to make an app. I wanted to do a digital business card app.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went all in on that. So I had the idea for a while, and then I had a bunch of people around me who encouraged me to do it, and they said, this is a great idea. So I sought out a person to develop the app. It mm-hmm. was someone that I actually had worked with at a previous startup. Not my own, but mm-hmm. I was like an employee at a startup. And I paid a lot of money to have the app developed.
Of course you did.
I spent like $55,000. And it took about 9 months to mm-hmm. do an iOS and an Android version. At that time, I had made the choice that I didn't want a business partner. I said I just wanted to do it myself. I was maybe a little concerned with decisions taking too long or,
sure.
you know, the constant back and forth.
Yep.
That sometimes happens
Makes
when
sense.
You have a business partner. So I said, I know what I want, and I just want someone to help me build it. So I decided to hire a developer. But you don't know what you don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. And so in the process of getting the app built, I tried to be a very focused and level-headed CEO and not keep changing the scope of work on the developer.
Oh, you're like the worst customer ever.
No, but no, I said I wanted to
try.
Right, no, but...
That's hard, though.
No, but I did.
You did?
I did,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I kept it
Sorry,
the same.
I take it all back. You're a good customer.
However, a good customer doesn't always make the best entrepreneur.
And when I say customers, because I've developed a lot of other right. people's apps.
Yeah, and so and you know how problematic it is when yeah. every time they're coming
it's
back
really difficult.
And asking you to change something and what might seem like a small change to someone who is not developing,
deal.
It's a big
yeah.
deal, right? And it changes a lot of other underlying things. So
yeah, exactly.
So I kept the scope very much the same. Anything that was going to be too much of a change, I didn't do. But though that meant I got my app, well, both versions of the app in, you know, in the allotted amount of time, it also meant that after 9 months, there were so many things that I wanted to change.
Mm, yep.
So now I had an app that like I thought was crap. Like
oh,
I didn't
no.
even like it. I thought yeah. it was embarrassing to me.
So you don't have a digital business card app?
Well, interesting, sort of. So that app did get built. It was in both of the app stores. And I just, like I said, I didn't even want to show anybody. Right around that time, the iPhone 6 Plus came out.
Oh, okay.
So it was a much bigger screen,
mm-hmm.
which meant that my app didn't work on it.
Yeah, you have to redo
and
the
it
graphics.
Crashed on all the iPhone
yep.
6s, 6 Plus. And, I mean, that was annoying because often the people with the new phones are, like, early adopters.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of go hand in hand. So that kind of sucked. And there was a lot of things I needed changed in the app. And I had no more money left. So I said, okay, I guess now I have to find a technical co-founder
mm-hmm.
to help me with this.
Yeah.
And I met a couple different people, but eventually ended up meeting who is now my current partner, Paul, and met him, and he had this product that was a back-end automation tool.
Oh, okay.
And so we came together originally to use his back-end tool to help recreate Carded, which is what the app's called. And
wait one sec. Oh, I shouldn't download it?
It's not available anymore.
Oh.
So I took it, and we were going to recreate it, and we actually came up with some new ideas of how to make the app slightly different and better, and I thought it was great. But during that process, we kind of were collaborating and figuring out if how much of it we could actually automate it. Is it more than just the back end
that
we can automate?
The process of developing.
Right.
So if you
is
have a
there
different
there?
Thing you want to tweak, you're saying you could change it on the fly.
Right. So,
like
I mean,
the
back
motivation?
End and the front end are kind of their own components
right.
in app development. So we had already done kind of the back end automation stuff. Well, here already had that. And he was one, he had been working towards and thinking about if you could automate the entire process, and he had some theories about that. And again, we were building, using all this technology to build my app.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 months in, I kind of just, I went to bed one night with an idea. And sometimes when I have an idea that's going to change things a lot,
mm-hmm.
I like to sleep on it and make
okay.
sure I still think it's a good idea in the morning. Because sometimes I'll have a great idea and then
mm-hmm.
I go to bed and I'm like, that was crap, that's
terrible
a horrible,
idea.
Terrible idea. Yeah. So I went to bed and I woke up the next day. And I still had the same thought, so I just, you know, I called him up and I said, look, we're doing this wrong. We're chasing a vertical, we're chasing after this one app when
mm-hmm.
you have this automation platform that can automate you can automate the back end for everyone, not just me, not just my app.
Because you're saying when you look at most apps that are being developed, they have common blocks of capabilities,
sort
even though
of.
The graphics look different.
Yeah, so at this point it was still the back end tool.
Got it.
At this point it was still just
the
back end.
Okay. So you're developing like a back end as a service.
Exactly. It was pretty much what it was. Yeah. So he already had that. So I was like, this is the product. It's not, you know, my app idea, like this is the product. So we kind of moved forward trying to launch it as a developer tools product, which is a really challenging space.
Very challenging, yeah.
We tried that for a bit, but it was also during that process during that time period where my partner, Polly, he had come up with some new theories on how to automate the whole process, front end, back end of the app development. And he was testing some of those, and that had been about a year of checking if that will all work and doing all the research, and also me like going out and finding all these case studies and checking the market and making sure that this was actually something that we could sell. And earlier this year, we basically were able to prove it all out and make like a prototype, and so we built Carded
cool. yep.
with Blank.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
got it.
So who knows? Maybe we'll launch it one day as like a fun internal product.
Is this like the never-ending app development
product?
I know you
got to
launch
maybe.
Too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's
Carded itself is.
Are you a perfectionist?
Sometimes, but I don't think I'm a perfectionist to a fault. But I mean, I kind of
you can let
like,
go of your babies and see.
Oh yeah,
if they
I kind of use like.
I don't know if that's a good analogy. But
let go of your babies
and see if they float.
Really, unless you're a seahorse, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. A seahorse.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do one thing.
Star yep.
Story. That's awesome.
Imagine I never do live videos. Like, I should just do a live.
I love live videos.
And I never do them.
Oh, you don't.
No. I wonder what happened if I went live video. I feel like there'd be like 3 people. No, because I never do them.
Oh, the people
so
don't
it's
expect
not gonna,
you to do them.
It's not going to pop up, I don't think.
You probably need to train people.
And you need to, it has to, like tell people that you're going to be live, right?
Yeah, it gives you like a little notification.
What is up? Well, there's a couple people. I'm filming an interview right now. So just, you know, seeing what people wanna know.
Yeah,
I'm actually doing a live.
What do you want to know from Kim Parnell?
Hello. I never do lives, so I don't even know if it's gonna
look, there's people.
What
on.
The fuck is going on with Blank?
I told you.
That's a good question.
Wow, who asked that?
Josh.
Wow.
This person.
Josh.
Yes.
That's a very frank question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, though. It is a good question.
Josh might not be Canadian.
I don't know. Josh, are you Canadian? Why? Because it's so blunt of a question.
I had a guy in the street, did I tell you?
No.
I was looking down at my phone outside of WeWork trying to figure out where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped and he started giving me directions randomly. He goes, what do you need?
That's so...
And I'm like, I'm back in Toronto.
That's so Canadian.
It's definitely Canadian. I
wonder
if
we can do this. Like,
this
yes,
totally
Blank
works,
is still happening. I hope you guys can hear me, because
it goes faster if you put a deposit there.
So, no, Blank's still happening. We are raising money right now, so we've got to build the rest of the platform. But we're raising money right now, and we have a prototype that I will be able to show soon, which is really exciting.
I might even see it.
Yeah. Do you want to? Who are you? You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Michael Devolano. Hi. Do you want to know more?
No. Yeah. Well, Michael has a book coming out. Well, out now.
It's out.
It's out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
doing
he's
a book launch in Toronto tonight for Automate and Grow. It's really about kind of two things. One is, how do you take transformational digital technologies, there's six of them that we identify, and apply it to your industry problem. So in other words, how do you innovate in a unique way using digital technology, which you're doing with Blank? And then the other part is, once you're satisfied with your product, how do you automate marketing, sales, and customer support?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So that's tonight. If you guys are in Toronto and you want to come set WeWork on Richmond Street.
240 Richmond West.
Yeah. What are my thoughts on cryptocurrency? I have a lot. That's kind of a
wait. I was
going to
ask that. Okay.
Okay.
We can do double.
Yeah.
D.
Look, so I don't know.
What are your thoughts on cryptocurrency?
I think cryptocurrency is we're only in the beginning. This is like we're in the very very early days. I mean, this is a pretty long answer. Maybe I should do like a whole separate.
I would like to participate
thing.
In that.
Yeah.
If,
maybe
if
I'll
you
do like
to.
A.
Because I feel like crypto is two things. It's blockchain. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, how do you digital ledger for agreements, but then obviously the currency part. And I think people are getting whipped up around Bitcoin.
Right.
But that's like just one thing.
Yeah, I mean, so
it's like a bellwether, right, of all the other stuff that's going on.
Bitcoin's interesting because Bitcoin is a crypto, but it's also a protocol, right? So Bitcoin
mm-hmm.
itself and the Bitcoin platform, there's a protocol and there's an embedded cryptocurrency. A lot of the other ones are slightly different, but I'm interested in doing, anyone who wants me to come talk about cryptocurrency, I'm probably interested, just ask me, because I talk about it for fun, like by myself, so I actually hurt my hip, so I can't really do a lot of workout right now, which sucks, and then I started swimming to at least not feel like shit, because I feel like shit when I don't work out, but
swimming helps.
Yeah. I think I'll get back to this.
Did you do yoga?
Yeah, I do yoga. I did also yoga this morning. I do yoga every day.
I have many hip woes. We can share stories on that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I also did, I did Wim Hof breathing this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever done it?
I haven't. No.
It's pretty interesting.
Did you actually learn it from Wim Hof?
I wish.
Let's do that.
I wish I learned it from Wim Hof. I learned it from Wim Hof, but like on
YouTube,
a YouTube video. Yeah. Do I believe Bitcoin will reach 1 million per Bitcoin in 5-10? 1 million is a lot. I don't really like making financial predictions about it. I mean, I believe a lot. I mean, I believe a lot more in the protocol and in the technology and in the power of what that means, more than necessarily making predictions about the price and the value of a Bitcoin. I think that is still a little speculative. But as far as the climate and the industry as a whole, I think that Bitcoin will eventually level out. Like right now, it's still really volatile. There's lots of movement, too much movement for it to be a real store of value.
So some people call it like digital gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like a bellwether. And I think there's an element to that, don't you?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, so if there's like
a store of value?
It is definitely a store of value, right? So that's a feature of money, or M1 or M2,
mm-hmm.
any money supply. But gold is now something that people use to hedge.
Yeah.
Right? So anytime there's volatility, they're looking to get into something
right,
that, you know, stores their value if everything blew up and burned down tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I think there's an element of that, don't you?
There will be. I think right now, and there is right now, I think it's just still a little, the movement is still a little too extreme to be able to be really used as a store of value or as a hedge, but I think that that's where it's going. So not that I'm saying that people shouldn't use it as a store of value, but it's not something that you really should only be putting, anyway, I don't really like giving financial advice, but like...
You're not.
I always say, this is not financial advice.
So as a technology, let's call it a blockchain currency,
yeah,
right? As opposed to an actual currency. But it's, the one thing I was, interesting is if you want to buy another cryptocurrency, don't you usually need to have Bitcoin?
Bitcoin or Ethereum, yeah, almost
right.
Always. Like, it depends what you're buying, but you pretty much have to have Bitcoin or Ethereum to get into any of the other cryptos. Very few of them, and I think even less moving forward, are going to be able to take fiat. Okay. All of them now, you do need to have, you can't really get in other than with those two, but some places are changing, although like the exchanges, you have to always be careful because any of the centralized exchanges, remember, like they are centralized, and
mm-hmm.
anything that you're keeping money on
like
is...
Like Coinbase, usually people say is maybe if you want play, but really if you want to start storing value, you wouldn't stick with Coinbase, right?
Well, I mean, you don't want to...
Because they're the ones that own the key, right?
Sort of. So, I mean, you don't want to have any good deal of money left on an exchange, right? So right now there's a couple... There are going to be more decentralized exchanges, and when it comes to things like atomic swaps and all these different ways that people are going to be able to exchange their coins more quickly,
mm-hmm.
then that's going to dramatically improve
And the speed you're talking about is because it takes crunching to release more coins, right? Like
no, it's actually just
really,
it really comes down to availability. Right? So,
oh, that too.
So the
liquidity
in the market, right? There's
as
not
opposed
a lot of liquidity
to,
in the market.
You're not talking about mining.
No, I'm talking about trading and exchanging. So when there's not a lot of liquidity in the market or when people are holding up the transaction, so this doesn't happen as much anymore, but sometimes there's what's called like kind of like a paywall. So someone will put in like buy order for a really large quantity,
mm-hmm.
and then nothing else can really move until that's fulfilled.
I see.
So
it's like clearing the market in a sense. It's like waiting till it's fulfilled.
Right. Like if someone puts in like a $10,000 or like, I mean, that's not that much, but if someone are putting like a $100,000 buy order for
mm-hmm.
a certain crypto, and if there's not a lot of available liquidity for that, then it's that person's order is going to have to get fulfilled before any other ones happen.
And the only other way that, so like, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is there's two ways to get new coins. Not coins, just coins. One is from someone that has it.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the miners who are doing extreme calculations to release a new block. Is that
right.
Part of the block?
Right. Now, there's only a couple of cryptos that you can mine right now. So, yes, that's true, depending what you're talking about. So,
right.
in Bitcoin's case, for sure, that's true.
Got it.
From someone who has one or from mining. Some of the newer, I mean, I don't know if you want to call them altcoins or the coins that are being
the
put
ICOs.
Out now in a lot of ICOs.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, got it.
Yeah, those ones, I mean, obviously you can just buy them.
Oh,
you just buy them
right.
with like exchange, and you exchange fiat to like Ethereum or to Bitcoin, and then you use that to buy into an ICO. But we're totally hijacking this interview that I'm supposed to be doing right now.
I was
going to
ask about crypto anyway,
so,
I think it's interesting. And,
yeah, I've seen 22.
22
so.
Viewers, that's pretty good.
No, it's not.
No.
No.
You have like 12,000 followers?
Exactly. So that's like bad. But you know, like...
I don't think people are used to you doing it though.
It won't even pop up.
Oh, okay.
There's
no
except for the
thing.
Well, there is, but watch. So when you go...
Is Instagram
oh, sure.
your favorite social platform?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So see, here, like right here even, I don't see like hardly any... I don't see any lives. Guaranteed... Someone I know is live right now, but I don't
yeah.
see any because
oh,
it because it's like the people I normally watch, right?
Oh, I see.
So it's like the people I normally watch.
I feel like I keep getting notifications from like 5 people.
Yeah, exactly.
But then if I slide
because they started using like Facebook algorithms, right? So you can have it as a general setting in Instagram, like show me when people go live that I follow,
okay.
or you can have it like per person if they go live, or someone just happens to be looking at Instagram at the time. But
mm-hmm.
now that you can share your live stories, like it's. Okay, yeah, so I shared it, so
cool.
it'll show. Yeah, I did a live one time, and I was like, so disappointed, because...
Oh, why?
Because I think there was, like, 30 or 40 people that were on
I
the live with me.
That.
But
yeah.
I was, like, so disappointed, and I was like, why is no one watching it? And then...
If I have 30 people show up tonight, should I cry?
Well, no, that would actually... In person, that's
oh,
huge, right?
Oh, you think it's different online?
Yeah, for sure, and especially when you look at, like, you know, ratios. And I had to, like, actually... tell myself, like, Kim, don't let your ego get in the way here, because I know I don't do lives. And when you do stories on Instagram too, or if I haven't done a lot of stories that I'm talking in, like if I'm just doing like a photo, a quote, a this, it's, the interaction's really low. I mean, it's there, but it's low. And then if I post more that have like me talking, or if I'm posting more on my feed in general, it's like tripled.
That's interesting. So you're saying, for example, that makes sense that people are more interested in you. That's what they're following. Not necessarily what you're showing, but what you are saying.
Yeah, like if I do some of the little like things where I'll talk about something, it'll go up. And if I do that 2 or 3 days in a row, the engagement will climb. And then if I kind of don't do that for a week, it'll plummet.
Oh, wow.
It's
interesting.
Like, it's so reactive.
And
very, very quickly reactive.
Like a fairly sizable following on Instagram, right? They have like 12,000.
Yeah,
12,000,
yeah.
12,000. And I think you had said before, because I had asked this, how did you build that up?
Yeah, it was over time. And I knew that the platform would be good for something. I knew like a following would be good for something eventually, right? So, and we were building blank. Like it's not like we weren't working on it. We were. It just, we weren't about to launch anything yet. But I also knew it doesn't build up overnight.
No,
like it's
true.
Continual effort, right? It's continual effort. So I will say that I was kind of lucky when I decided I really wanted to push and grow my Instagram. I think I was about at like 2,500, between 2,500 and like 3,000 followers at the time. And that was still when a service, what was it called?
Oh, okay.
So do you remember Instagress?
I don't know. I'm probably late to the game.
So Instagress, some people don't like it, but you know, I was a fan of Instagress. So Instagress was an automation tool. You could really abuse it though if you wanted to, but if you did it and you used it properly, I thought it was super helpful. So what you could do is you could set it up to like certain hashtags, to, you know, like certain types of photos, maybe that's based on like a geotag or a hashtag, or the followers of another person. So you could,
that
you know,
sense.
Like
yeah.
Gary Vee's followers.
I want a
like,
similar audience.
Right,
to
similar audience. And to handle, because a lot of the comments were horribly obvious that it was a bot commenting. But so I never did the comments. I just would, you know, like the photos or
like
whatnot.
Two hands up symbol.
Yeah, like, no, just like it, right?
Well, it's funny because whenever I see someone doing like, good job,
yeah.
I know that's fake. Right?
Or it's like, this picture, great.
They might be real, but their comment's definitely fake.
Right. So the good thing though about that is it kind of, it like spreads your seed out there a lot. You know, you go like all these photos and then someone will be like, oh, who's this person that liked my picture? They'll come look at my profile. And if they like what I have, then oftentimes they would follow me or they would like or they would message me. And when that happened, then I was like, oh, here's a person that is enjoying what I'm posting. So then I would interact with them and I'd comment back. So it was kind of like a cool way of like billboard advertising where you could go find. Yeah, it was like a lead generation.
That makes
course.
Sense.
Yeah. And then, I would get pretty high engagement back. So I don't know if it was 1,000, maybe it was more like 400 or something, but you would get like probably 10% of the
That's
people
great.
That would come back and follow you or also like your stuff or send you a message or comment on some of your photos. So yeah, you would just like.
I like to talk about is around automation, obviously around marketing. And I guess what I'm curious about is, so you've got the following, you got a pretty reasonable size following, I think. What's come of that? Like what's the conversion, so to speak,
right.
for you? Like how does that benefit you to this point? Like did it work out the way you thought? Do you have quality people that you interact with? Partnerships, anything? Such
yeah,
a,
well I met
me.
You on Instagram.
Yeah, I know, that's true. I'm a lunatic though, so I'll talk to anybody. So.
No, that's good.
Not that you wouldn't,
No.
You may not talk to me.
I'm like the least easy to offend person, don't worry. So,
how dare you.
Yeah, I mean, So when I was like really pushing hard for the first, I'd say year, I was really trying to post every single day. I looked at a lot of analytics and I saw that around 9:30 in the morning was a good posting time for me based on where I am. You can check, I think, is it Hootsuite or one of the services, they have like a free tool. So it was like 9:30 and 12:30 or some of those times, because then you get your East Coast and you get your West Coast audience,
okay,
you know?
Got it, yeah.
But I mean, posting twice a day is tough. So I would at least aim for once a day. And I was pretty diligent posting once a day for a while. I tried, you know, I would work on all my content over like the weekend and then like post it. I'd
do
like a week's worth of content.
Okay. You really worked at it then.
I did. It took a lot of time. Like it really did take a lot of time. And I would also research hashtags and I would do all these comparisons. I'd check which hashtags worked, which ones would get me in top posts.
Wow.
I'd try to use those ones. Like there's a lot. So yeah, I mean, I always use all 30 hashtags and I always use a location. I think that that's helpful just because it's 30. Just an,
is that the magic number?
Yeah, 30. You can only use 30. Unless they change it right now, but it's 30, yeah.
I'm like a total slacker.
I have a notepad in my phone where I have like hashtag lists of different types of posts that I make.
See, this is how bad I am, because I would watch people and they put all these hashtags on, and I'm like, that's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I put it in a comment underneath, so I do like a comment right away.
So you split it off from
So it's not in the main post, but I also do that for another
reason.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Not just because I don't think it's aesthetically pleasing, I also do it because from my Instagram, I'll post to Facebook and Twitter with the same post, like I have it set up. So if you keep the hashtags out of it, then those posts look good on those
platforms.
Other platform. Right.
Which is what I think one of the things I liked about Instagram, which is, first of all, it's photo-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick of hearing what people think all the time. Because it's pretty scary, especially in the United States. So I'm like now in the U.S. and it's weird times, right?
It is, yeah.
But I think the photo element, but then the fact that it deals with Twitter and it deals with Facebook for me, I don't have to touch it.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm definitely not a social media maven. Like, I don't have the thing figured out. And I'm not a growth hacker type guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. You seem to have a little bit more analytical approach to it.
I do.
You pay
it's
attention
just, like,
to
in
details
my nature.
That I would like. I'm more of a brute force, you know?
Like, yeah. I like looking at the math and the statistics and it's fun. But you can get, you know, it can get a little too much sometimes too. So I just got to balance it. But.
Yeah, I would get brain overload and it would stop me from doing things.
Yeah. So I spent a good amount of time, like probably a solid year, trying to grow the audience. And then once it went over, so then Instagram stopped, along with all the other blog services.
Oh, so your superpower was
but,
like kryptonite.
Yeah, a lot of the other, there was a bunch of them, but Instagram pulled, you know, blocked all of those services.
From the API.
So you weren't allowed to use them anymore. Yeah, sure. I feel like social media really does allow people to find like-minded people.
That makes sense.
So, you know, I mean, you were talking about small towns. I'm from Windsor, originally.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, growing up in a smaller town, you can generally find a lot more people like you. So that's one thing where I found being able to just talk about what I'm interested in and do things that I'm, like, honestly, most of the stuff
light.
I post, like,
that makes sense.
Everything
I
post is, like, what I've been thinking about or what I've been looking into myself, what I've been researching or investigating. I usually post a quote every morning on my story, and it's always something that's I've come across or something that's, like, it's kind of in a way, it's kind of
I
like a quote.
I aspire to this. Sort of. I don't like fame. That's the weird thing.
I
like my ideas out there, but the infamy part is a little bit, you know, there's a limit for me, maybe. I don't know about you, like... What if your followers grew to like a million?
I mean, it's funny because that's still not really that famous.
That's so funny.
It is
that.
Like it sounds crazy to say
so
that, but it's really
million?
Not. Like 1 million is really not that.
Really?
You could, no.
Wow.
You could just be out in the world like living life. I mean, you would probably still come across some people that are like, oh, I know you.
Really? You think so?
For sure. There's
you know who
that
I bumped
are...
into at the airport the other day. It was in front of me, and I really have to apologize to him.
Who?
Is that Casey Neistat? You know that
Casey
is?
Neistat? Yeah,
yeah. Do you know him?
Yeah, I spoke with him at the last season.
That's what it was. Okay,
yeah.
I thought I saw that somewhere. I couldn't remember what it was.
He was here, actually, a couple weeks ago, too, I think, for another event, but...
Oh, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I bumped into him in the security line in the airport. I said, oh, you're Casey. He goes, yeah. And he was waiting for, you know, him to be tackled.
Yeah.
And I think my instinct when I meet people, they usually shake their hand. And then I felt really bad. I was like... I just made him shake my hand.
Oh, why?
I don't know. It just seems to me if you have like 9 or 10 million people following you, and let's say 0.1% of those people meet you and they want to actually shake your hand, that's got to be overwhelming. And that's what I felt coming off of him.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, and I was like, I felt instantly bad, but I was like, I didn't want to pull it away.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it depends on the person.
Maybe
or the environment. Maybe like security line at the airport. It was just like the environment. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
maybe you thought I was like TSA.
I mean, 9 or 10 million is a lot more than 1 million.
Sure.
Right?
Well,
so,
I mean, those are both pretty big audiences, though.
It is, and don't get me wrong, if there's a million people following me, I'd be super happy.
Would you?
See, yeah, of course.
Okay, I think
course.
I'd be freaked out, but it probably is important to have that, right?
I think there's a bit of, I'll get the odd comment that's just like, half broken English, like, like, sexy lady, lovely, and I'm like...
I got that too.
Just, I just don't
I
answer
never,
those
never
ones,
got
but...
That. Actually, maybe I have. I get ones in Arabic, maybe that's what it's...
Yeah,
right?
I've only
and
got a
like,
couple
you,
of those.
You obviously are not.
Yeah.
Maybe you read English, and you think I read Arabic. I don't know.
Who knows? But yeah, it's good to do for fun.
Yeah.
But if you really are putting out a lot of, I guess, your own work or your personality or who you are, it's kind of like a little weird resume in a way. You know, like a
bio. There's probably the point where you cross that chasm and you're done and you keep going.
Yeah, like a lot of times I don't say it to be, you know, to be flippant, but I'll say, if, you know, someone's like, oh, so what are you about? Or like, what are you interested in? Part of me, I just want to say, well, like,
don't you know?
No, I would just
don't
say, like,
you know,
not like that, but more like, you know, their
fine,
and
sure.
Not as much as other people.
No, you can do a little bit of research and kind of figure out the basics, right?
But
doesn't that seem creepy, though, too?
Not at all.
You don't view your company.
No, if someone comes up to me and they say, oh, I saw this post that you made, I would be happy. Because again, it takes so much time to do that.
That makes sense.
Like, it does take a lot of work. It does take a lot of effort. I mean, I don't just do over an hour.
Wow.
Depending on what you're posting about.
Jeez,
so
I never thought of that.
I
just do things really fast.
I mean,
like, I
don't
know
what it is, but
45 days, right?
That's insane. That's totally insane.
How else are you going to do it? I hear people that do it in a year, and to me, I just think I would probably veer off, and it wouldn't be as good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think if I have really focused attention on something, and I'm like, no, this is the outcome, I'm going to do it.
Right.
That's why I say I'm kind of like brute force, right? Like, it's
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to judge it. I'll fix it later.
That's sometimes a good way, though. You just, like, power through it.
I mean, there's probably mistakes. I know there's mistakes in the first print.
Mm-hmm.
But
then
the idea gets through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's what's more important.
That's awesome.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you a couple things. So we did talk about some stuff that we had talked about before, which was, and we talked about blank, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you talked about your social media experience, because I think you've got a good footing there, and you got some interesting insights. We talked about crypto and blockchain, which is
yeah.
Fun. And that was totally random, actually.
Totally.
The one thing I was kind of curious about is really, okay, you're in a Reader's Digest version, because I don't want you to overwhelm yourself with it, but what made you want to kind of do your own thing?
Like, be an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the super condensed answer, which I can expand on, but the super condensed answer is I kind of just always felt like it really was kind of intrinsic.
Really?
Yeah. So even when I was younger and living in Windsor, I started off like my very, very early jobs, once I was able to, I started serving, like waitressing and bartending.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I always, the idea that someone would tell me like the maximum I could make, no matter how amazing I was or how
right.
great I worked or how much extra effort I put in, that just never really made sense
to
me.
Well with you.
No, I was like, you know, if I'm willing to
you want that freedom
put in the extra effort,
that
then
makes sense too.
I want the upside, and I'm okay with taking the risk that this might just be a completely shit night, and I might make $4. You know, like, that risk was okay with me, and I was always really comfortable with it, because I believed in, you know, my own ability, I guess, to learn the craft and to work hard and to see where I could improve and to, I don't want to say game the system, because
it's not
cheating, but like you learn what the 80%
sure.
or the 20% that will provide
the
80%.
The rules aren't it's not rules that are like stymieing you.
Right. Right. So
you're trying to understand, if I do more, what do I get more out of it?
Right. And how can I exploit certain things that I'm really great at and maybe like help to correct or work on some things that are maybe not my biggest strengths or skill set. So that was always something that was just
that's like
made sense to me.
That's interesting.
So,
and there was no like entrepreneurial mentor or influence.
Not at all. No. Like
wow.
Actually
that's awesome.
My parents, like, I love them to death, but my dad's an accountant, my mom is a nurse.
Oh, okay.
So super just, you know, long term kind of jobs. Get a good job. You know, go to college, get a good
yeah,
job,
yeah.
pension, like
which
that
I never
was,
believed in personally, by the way.
No, but that was all I knew. And I didn't know
that's
any entrepreneurs growing up. Like none were close to me. So I didn't realize that I had this kind of entrepreneurial thought process, but I guess I did.
Yeah, for sure. That's really unique.
And then there's kind of two separate things that happened. One is I went to a conference with a friend of mine, and it was The Secret. So there was like speakers from The Secret.
Oh, right. Okay.
There. And this is kind of when we were still...
Wow, I have an interesting thing to bring up about this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's when we were like starting to think of running a business. So that kind of started a personal development entrepreneurial journey.
Okay.
But I also, I mean, just a really... briefly touch on this part of the story, although the whole thing is long. I spent some time living in LA.
Okay.
And it was there that I saw, you know, I would meet other people that were my age or maybe just a little older, and you know, they had nice cars and they were like had all this money, and I was like, who are these people? Like, are they famous? Are they music producers? Are they drug dealers? Like, I had no idea. And then,
because those are the options in Windsor.
Well, I mean, as far as I kind of like, that was kind of my thought, that those are options for
sure.
like young people with
of
money,
course.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then I learned that, like, no, they're entrepreneurs. you know, I met a guy, he had like this online digital marketing SEO company.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this gorgeous house in Malibu.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I'm still friends with him now. But, you know, there's these people that I would meet, I would learn what they did. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, so you just invent something out of thin air and you turn it into money. Like, that was incredible to me. That was like
that's
someone
awesome.
Just
so
unlocked.
The creation and the result.
Yeah.
The fruits of being taking the risk and having an idea and doing something dramatic with it.
Yeah. And I kind of grew up being like very much in the creative fields as well. Like, I danced and I acted. I was in musical theater. So creativity was always a big part of my life. And this kind of seemed like it was a great way to apply creativity and logic and like math and science, kind of mix it all together.
Interesting.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you have you have a lot of the characteristics that I would identify as a growth hacker. So I don't know if you probably don't identify as that, because I think that's probably too limiting a label for you.
No, I mean, I don't mind. That's, I hope I'm a growth, like, that's like the best thing you
is
can
it?
Do.
Is it? Oh,
call.
Okay, well, see, for me, I look at that and I'm like, that is not something I would do. Like, I would have the idea and I can create stuff, and I need those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have them, then sometimes things, you know, lose their interest in my brain, right?
Right.
But, so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in any company, especially a digital company where you're trying, well, that would be where you're trying to really grow exponentially,
mm-hmm.
having some growth hacking mindset strategies.
Oh, for sure.
It's helpful. But I mean, I'm glad you say that. I don't know if I would have considered myself a growth hacker, but I hope so.
I think so. I mean, I tend to think that's, you know, when you kind of take that science
mm-hmm.
and then the art, and that's what it ignites you and you're excited about, and you're willing to go down deep to figure out what things mean
right.
and then make adjustments. I think that's consistent with that personality type.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's probably too limiting, like I say. You're more than that, like I think. That's probably your bent, though. That's probably where...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it has to be only that, right? That can be like a...
Yeah, it's a part.
Yeah, it's a part.
Okay, so the other thing that we talk about is about transformational digital technologies and applying it to your business problem. So I'm going to ask you a big question.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask for a short answer.
Okay.
What are you working on that's going to change the world?
Oh, well, the short answer...
I think we used the word universe when we talked, but...
Yeah,
we'll limit it to just the world.
Okay, yeah, until Elon can get us to Mars, it'll just have to be...
It's only
going to
happen sooner than we think.
Yeah, so Elon, we're waiting on you. Blank is the short answer. I mean, that's a one-word answer, blank. Now, if you want, like, a sentence, yeah.
Sure. You can.
Well, through blank, being able to... It really is completely changing the way that software is built and how we think about software as it exists today. So,
great. And that's a huge problem, right? Like, I think that, think about this, 2017, iPhone came out.
2007, 2008,
crazy.
App Store.
Right?
Yeah,
when
it's
you
crazy,
think about
years.
It, this entire thing has changed everything,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not just one device, but everything kind of evolved after that. You know, we had BlackBerry, a Canadian story that... You know, change the demand curve though with iPhone, and we've been riding that. So
yeah.
What's the next 10 years? I think it's those other things.
Right.
You know, applying one of those six transformational, maybe seven. I think blockchain's in there. So that's interesting. So you're taking a problem that was created out of that ecosystem, which is it's still a software project today, right?
Yeah.
So today it's a software project, and you're trying to make it so that it's more accessible. I think is that.
For sure, it will definitely be more accessible, and I think, you know, you could get from place to place, but once someone said, oh, what used to take you, you know, 3 weeks...
Because the expectation...
Is now going to take you 6 hours.
That makes total sense.
Then now that's 3 weeks really
right.
seem like a problem.
Whereas now I just don't want to stand in line to get on the airplane.
True. And now we need, like, you know, the...
That's why I have Clear.
Yeah. Well, like, yes, yeah.
Nobody signed up for Clear.
Oh, it's Clear. It's, like, even better than Nexus? I don't even know what Clear is.
Yeah.
I just know Nexus and Global Entry.
Oh, those are okay.
Who do you have to be to get Clear? Like, okay, I'm gonna look. You gotta hook me up.
I'll share it. Share it with you later.
Then you might. As long as I don't need my DNA.
I don't know if Canadians can do it. See, I'm Canadian, but I'm also American.
You have dual.
I do.
Lucky.
I actually tried.
With what other country?
Ireland.
Hmm.
Yeah, global citizen.
That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I need to
get
my
passport.
I need my other one in case, you know, extradition or something.
Oh, like, no, what?
Not really.
We can talk about this off camera. All right, I'm gonna wrap it up by saying thank you. This has been a lot of fun. I think this is not enough time even. Because we could probably go
on. We could go on forever.
We could definitely do that. So Thank you for sharing some wealth of information in a very short amount of time. And anything else you want to say? Anything you want to promote?
Well, obviously, I mean, Blank is my company, so...
GetBlank?
Yeah, the website's getblank.com. It's going to be, I mean, I don't know when this is going to come up, but we're going to have quite a bit of changes coming up into the new year on the website. Some new things that we're incorporating, which will be very exciting.
Cool.
And, you know, I'm going to have some news to share, hopefully sooner rather than later, but, you know, some things take a little bit while when you're waiting on policy and things like that. But, yeah, I have a bunch of new things to share and prototypes and things that...
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at KimBigK, so Kim and then like big and small.
Big K.
Big K. Twitter is the same handle. KimBigK.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that for Christmas.
Twitter is the same handle. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn if you just search Kim Parnell.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Really appreciate you. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
My sister's calling me.
Oh, no.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.